1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the few minutes I have remaining, I'm going to attempt to preach to you a few biblical truths that just have really been on my heart and mind lately. My desire for my own life as well as for each of you is that we would grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but more than just knowledge, that we would truly grow in grace, that we would grow to be more like Christ, that we would learn what it is to let Christ live in and through us. And there's a difference between having a theological understanding of something, being able to grasp a concept, and actually appropriating that in your life and letting that become a reality in your daily life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're just going to read one verse here. As this is really an expression of Paul's heart and desire for the Thessalonian believers, here's what he says: "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That word "wholly," obviously, it means completely. It means in every way. And then he says this: "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God has a plan and a purpose for each of us that we would become like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a process that we know and refer to as sanctification. It's the process by which He takes us and makes us into what we are in Christ. It's an interesting reality when you consider that positionally, at the moment of salvation, we are in Christ. We are everything that God wants us to be, positionally. But practically speaking, we're a work in progress. And it's a long process. It's a lifelong process. But the goal is that we would be continually growing in Him. And if I'm just being completely transparent with you tonight, I have to admit that I am saddened by the number of Christians who live life defeated, depressed, struggling, in bondage, not growing. And when they become aware of this reality in their life, oftentimes they either take a totally kind of fatalistic approach, as though things are never going to change, or they begin to pursue answers from the wrong sources. And they look to man, and they look to the wisdom of the world, and they think that maybe if I could just find this one person, this whatever it is, the magic cure, the therapist, the book, the key to my problem, all of my issues would be resolved. When in reality, the need of your heart and my heart is that Christ would be formed in us. That if we would allow Him to do His sanctifying work, all of our needs, all of our issues could be resolved in Him. I want to just point out to you from this verse, and we're going to look at several other verses tonight, and I'll try not to keep you too long, but I would ask that you really zone in and listen as we consider this concept that the work that God wants to do in you, first and foremost, it is His work in you. It is God's doing. Look what He says there in verse number 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you." Now, it doesn't take a genius in the English language to understand that the subject of the verse is doing the action of the verse. It is God who is doing the sanctifying. He doesn't say to you, sanctify yourselves. Now, that phrase does appear at times in Scripture. It means to separate yourself or to give yourself to something. But when we're talking about the work of sanctification, this is not a personal work that you do in your own life. It's a work that God must do in you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, we read there, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a work in you at the moment of salvation, and his desire is that he would continue that work and that you would allow him to continue that work until you are home with him in glory. Hold your place here, if you would, and go back just a few pages to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, of course, we're familiar with verses 8 and 9, being saved by grace, not of ourselves. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. What's he saying? He's saying that God, you are the work of God. Your life is the work of God. Now, Christian friend, can I say to you tonight that you will never be what God wants you to be unless you allow him to work in you. I read through the epistles and every one of Paul's epistles and almost all of the other epistles will start. They introduce the epistle with a greeting, and it usually says something like this: grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. This is what God wants for you, is to live a life that is defined by the grace of God, that is consumed with the peace of God. And I want to just show you and remind you that right here in our verse, right here in 1 Thessalonians 5, God is called the God of peace, the very God of peace. Now, this should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You cannot have peace if you don't have God. You say, well, I have God, I've been saved, praise the Lord. But if you are living life apart from God, and you're not in fellowship with him, then you're not going to have peace. If you're not walking with him, you're not going to have his grace on your life. It always puzzles me a little bit how people will come to a pastor. I'm not just complaining personally, but I happen to have more experience in my life than anyone else's, so this is my experience. People will come to me often with their problems. Now, I understand that there's benefit in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, there's benefit in that. And I'm always willing to pray with you about things. I'm always willing to try to point you to Scripture on things. But they'll come to me at times with their problems, and they'll just unload all of life's problems. Some of them are things that are, you know, outside of their control. Some of them are, you know, it's a result of sin in their life, maybe even from the past. They're reaping what they've sown, whatever. And there's this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. And they'll just kind of like lay it all out there and then look at me like, so what's the solution? And I hate to tell you this, but I don't have the answer to your life's problems. I don't. But I know who does. And I would remind you that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, in that prophecy about the Lord Jesus, that, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that one of the names by which he is called is Counselor. You know, I'm not your counselor. He is to be your counselor. You say, well, I don't need, know what to do. Pastor, I don't know what to do. And so often I will tell people, listen, again, I'm not trying to push you away and say, don't talk to me about this, but why are you looking here instead of looking here? I'm not a mediator between God and man. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. He is to be your counselor. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, what does it say? The counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. That's the counsel that you need. You need God, I need God to do the work that only God can do in our lives. And I'm sorry to tell you this, there is no magic pill. There is no method of therapy or man's counseling that's going to resolve the deep issues of your heart. God describes us as being this three-part being. Right here in verse 23, he says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is this, that the problems in your life are not just physical and material, and they're not just emotional, and they're not just spiritual. They are usually a combination of all three. Now, I can look at the material issues in your life, and I can look at circumstances, and I can give you, to the best of my ability, you know, some idea of advice on maybe you ought to do this and work on this in your relationship or your finances or your physical health or your whatever well-being there. I can try to point you to some practical wisdom, but the truth is, friend, that you don't need man's wisdom, you need God's wisdom. And God can look at the issues of your soul. You can look at the issues of your spirit and he can counsel you. It is his work in you. But I would say to you that this is dependent on your fellowship with him. It's dependent on your fellowship with him. And the vast majority of needs that you would have in your life really could be, I don't want to say easily resolved, because life is complicated and we have an enemy and we have a sinful flesh and our relationships are challenging. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying this tonight, that the issues of life must be dealt with by the one who is able to infiltrate every area and aspect of our life. The one who is above all, the one who is able. And if you are not in fellowship with him, don't expect to have grace and peace. Go back with me to Ephesians again, if you would, Ephesians chapter 1. There's a phrase, a two-word phrase, that appears 77 times in the New Testament. And the phrase is this, in Christ. In Christ. And most of the time that phrase is used, not every single time, but almost every time that phrase is used, it's actually a description of who you are as a believer. You are in Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in, notice this, in heavenly places in Christ. Go over to chapter 2 if you would. Chapter number 2 and verse number 6, it says this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And both of those places, here's what it describes. that you are seated in heavenly places. You have access to heaven while on earth. And the key to this issue is that it is in Christ. Now think about this. In Christ, what does that mean? Well, to be in Christ literally means that my life is swallowed up in Christ's life. I am in Him. I think it's best described really by Paul's statement in Galatians 2 in verse number 20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I am living. It's not even me living anymore. My life was lost in him. I am crucified with him, and now he is living through me. He said it this way in Colossians 3 in verse number 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Who you were before Christ, that's gone. Now here's the reality. You are in him and he is in you and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, let me ask you, is that a practical reality in your life tonight? Are you yielded to him in such a way that your life has disappeared and that Christ is alive in you, living through you, that the words that you speak aren't even yours, they're his, that the thoughts that you think aren't yours, they're his, that the things that you do and the places you go are clearly guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God because your life is in him. And I would say to you tonight, friend, as lovingly as I can, so often that is not a reality in our lives. Because we're not really in fellowship with him as we ought to be. We're content for God to do things for us. But we fail to realize our need to die to self and live through him. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I find it to be just a tragedy, an irony. I don't know what you'd call it, really. There's a lot of probably descriptive words for it, but the fact that so many professing Christians never take the time to open the scriptures and to read it. Well, I'm just too busy. My life is so busy. Then how do you find time to post on social media? Because somehow you find time for that. How do you find time to text your friends? How do you find time to watch your favorite show? How do you find time to research this or that? How do you find time to watch these funny YouTube videos or TikTok or whatever it is? I mean, you've got time for that stuff. You find time for that stuff. But this is the life-giving Word of God. And we treat it as an inconvenience. And then we wonder why we don't have the answers to the issues of life. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I know that most of you can probably quote this, but I want you to read it with me. says here in verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So often when we're looking at this verse, we're wrapped up in the theology of it, the inspiration of the scriptures, which is very important. But notice what it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then it says this, and is profitable. What's it profitable for? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And then it says this, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect. Whole. Complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. That's why God gave you this book. That you could be whole. And if your life is not whole, somewhere along the line, you're not appropriating the truth of this book into your life. I'll say this, it's not enough just to read it. If you read the Bible like you read the daily newspaper, it's not going to change you. But if you read it as it is in truth, the Word of God, that is, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What does that mean? It means God's Word cuts through the confusion. You say, you know, I don't even know what, my mind is confused. I don't even know if this problem is a physical problem, an emotional problem, a spiritual problem, a relationship problem. I don't even know what the issue is. The Bible says that the Word of God cuts through all of that. It's so sharp. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And then it says this, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word discerns you. James chapter 1 likens it to a mirror, a looking glass. It's like when you look into this, when you listen, when you open the Scriptures with the mind that says, Lord, speak to me, this becomes like a mirror that looks right into your soul. And identifies the need of your heart and gives the answer and the direction that you need. But you need the book. Then go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Be careful, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. You've heard it before. Careful is to be full of care. It's a description of anxiety and anxiousness and consternation and worry. By the way, anxiety and depression are intrinsically linked. And he says, be careful for nothing. That's an easy thing to say. But so many of God's people are living life full of care, weighed down, confused, discouraged, depressed. And God says, be careful for nothing. But then But what? What's the alternative to this? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that speaks of the attitude with which we go to God, let your requests be made known unto God. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I'm going to say this as kindly and directly as I can. Don't come to me with a problem that you haven't gone to God about. And I don't mean that like I'm too busy to be bothered with your issues. That's not what I'm saying. But here's what I'm saying. Don't go looking for someone else's opinion without first going to God and seeking His face. Go to Him. And look what the very next verse says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't have peace. Well, then according to this, you're not giving it to God in prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me ask you this. How's your prayer life tonight? I mean, really, how's your prayer life? Don't expect peace without prayer. Don't expect answers without Scripture. I mean, you need God. You need the fullness of the Spirit. You need Him to live in you and through you. You need, as we heard from Joseph, to be abiding in Him. And I'm not saying to you tonight, well, all you got to do is read your Bible and pray and all of life's problems just go away. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this: the answer to your problems is not going to be found in some earthly solution. It's found in Him. You need God. You need God. I need God. And there's about 25 other scriptures that I would like to take you to tonight, but we're not going to take the time to do that. But I just want to encourage you in this. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He wants you to live victoriously. He wants you to have life more abundantly. He wants you to be wholly sanctified. He wants you to be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants you to be whole. But the average Christian is like a person dying of thirst in the desert that never bothers to turn on the faucet. Because that's the need. The answers are there. The solution is there. The peace is there. The grace is there. I mean, He's the God of all peace. He's the God of all grace. What do you need? I need God's grace. I need God's peace. He is grace and He is peace. There's not some ritual that you go through to obtain it. It's found in the person. You need God. Go to God. Seek His face. Draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. He resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God. I mean, draw close to Him. Seek His face. Get in the Word of God. Go to Him for the answer. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Father, we want to thank You for Your word. We thank You for the answers that You've provided for us. I pray tonight that each one of us would take seriously the things that we've heard here. That we would seek to draw close to You, to find the solutions to the needs of our hearts in You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to learn what it is to live a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God? And would you form Christ in us, conform us to the image of your dear Son? And Lord, we'll thank you. Help us as we go throughout the remainder of the week. Bless us, Father. Direct us and guide us. We ask this in Jesus' name.